Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show with guest host Brian Weber on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to another hour of the program. Coming to you live from the Quicken Loan Studios. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. Brian Weber with you in a festive mood, getting you ready for July 4th. Hour number one of the program, dominated by NBA conversation. NBA Twitter blew up yesterday. Boogie Cousins going to Northern California. Lakers have a wacky roster being assembled around LeBron James. We'll get back to the NBA chatter coming up in 20 minutes when we're joined by Kurt Heelan from ProBasketballTalk.com. Smack off coming up Friday, July 20th. If you want to test out your material, if you want this to be batting practice, phone lines are open. Now, hopefully by now you know my approach, not my first day filling in for Jim. I don't take nothing but phone calls. I don't sit here for 3 hours and read tweets, but I am open to having that conversation with you, understanding the day before a holiday is traditionally light on the phones, and a lot of you clones say, I'm not talking the sub guy. It's 1-800-636-8686. Email is always a good avenue. RomanAvatake.com. Hit me up on Twitter, BW Weber. Weber with two Bs. We'll continue to get you fully lined up for the smack off coming up with our continuing countdown of what I believe to be the three most interesting calls in the history of this coveted competition. We wrapped up the first hour of the show, taking you back to Jeff in Richmond's winning call. And since we are jumping into the hot tub time machine, let's bring in the executive producer, Adam Hawk, the man who decided not even to put on the collared shirt, nor button it all the way to the top, because I am here today. Adam, great to see you, my friend. The last time we worked together in February, I thought I would introduce the audience to a different component of your life, your origin story, because you've become a superhero, taking you back to how you made the smooth transition from pizza delivery man to radio producer, now part of a media empire. You told me before the show you have something from my past that you think I'm going to be intrigued by. I have no idea what's coming up. I'm trying to think. I never worked in fast food, so probably not a still photo of me wearing that Burger King crown, right? But tell me where we're going here.
Like you said, you went into my past and exploited me as a pizza delivery guy that broke into sports radio through the great Rob Buschka. Whatever Rob's doing right now, shout out to Rob. So I did some YouTube digging on you, and I found this excellent video from 2005, 13 years ago, a young Brian Weber standing on the glorious lanes of some bowling alley out in the middle of Milwaukee at the 2005 Intercollegiate Bowling Championships between the heavy favorite Fresno State and the heavy underdog Lindenwood. And I pulled a small clip from it right now. And if my friends in New York, Sharon specifically, could run it right now, that would be great. Let's take a listen.
From America's heartland, spotlighting the nation's most popular sports, the best college bowlers in the country have gathered at the Cherry Bowl in Rockford, Illinois. The 2005 Intercollegiate Bowling Championships, the Lindenwood Lions from Missouri taking on the Fresno State Bulldogs for the men's title. Hi, everybody. I'm Brian Weber. We at CSTV are thrilled to bring you this 31st edition of the premier event at college bowling, a sport that's growing in popularity on college campuses. Over 80 schools now field men's teams. The top 16 made it here to Rockford, and this is a grueling event. Scribbins has an answer. A nice gesture of sportsmanship by both teams. Lindenwood wins the 2005 Intercollegiate Bowling Championship.
That's a great clip, and that's a mom giving a hug to two players from Lindenwood, saying, "I'm so proud of you guys." No, not only were you there, you were right in the middle of that scrum, documenting that very emotional moment between a mother and her two bowling children, and you were on hand to document the great 2005 Intercollegiate Bowling Championship. So, congratulations on that.
Thank you, and you win. I have nothing I can top that with. Couple things. Let me fact check you because you are a journalist. That was Rockford, Illinois. The very famous, venerable Cherry Bowl.
What did I say?
Somewhere in Milwaukee, close enough.
Same thing.
You're telling me that was 2005?
2005.
Why am I calling that like Jim McKay in 1977 on Wide World of Sports?
I thought you did a fantastic job, honestly, because if I was there to call 10 different college guys playing an elective class like a sport, I would be laughing the whole time. But you took it very seriously, and you did a really nice job. You also used some vernacular that I've never heard before, like the head pin and the groove of the lanes, and you seem to know everything about the sport, and you did a great job, Brian.
Thank you so much. Final thought, how much moose do you think I was sporting that day? That, again, that's 2005? I really am caught in the late 1980s. At least the hair is hanging in there, but my goodness, that feels like a lifetime ago.
Where did they put you to do the call? I've always wondered where bowling announcers stand.
Just off to the side. That's why you got to whisper, and then you really punch it with the 7-10 split. And if memory serves, and we're killing the show, so we're going to wrap it up here, and yes, that is my hair. I think I did that as a solo artist. I don't think I had a color analyst alongside.
No, that was...
Why would I need one?
That was 47 minutes of pure Brian Weber. And if anyone wants to see it, it's on YouTube. Just Google, or YouTube, I should say, 2005 Intercollegiate Bowling Championships Men's Show, Lindenwood versus Fresno State on the great CSTV, which I didn't even know was a network.
Which is now CBS Sports Network. So it all comes college sports.
Oh, for me.
It morphed into the CBS Sports Network. So as we get back to the hot takes, perhaps it was preordained, Adam. I had to go to the Cherry Bowl in Rockford, Illinois, call bowling by myself just to prove I was worthy of filling in for Jim on the day before July 4th in 2018.
Right. And what I meant to say is CSTV, great network, yeah. Excellent origin story for how CBS Sports Network came to be.
Next time, talk to me before the show.
Sure thing. You got it.
The verbiage there. Thank you, Adam. You are dead to me. Coming up in 10 minutes, NBA conversation with Kurt Heeler from ProBasketballTalk.com. Never get old, and if you are, don't do it in high def. 1-800-636-8686. Emails roman@haveatake.com. Hit me up on Twitter, BW Weber, Weber with two Bs. Let's spend just a couple minutes on baseball. And every time I fill in, I wind up going down a similar path when it comes to baseball. And clearly, based on the tweet we got that Brian Weber sounds like a minor league baseball announcer, I sound more like a bowling play-by-play man. But years ago, I was heavily invested in baseball. It was how I got into the business, allowing me to call great events like the Intercollegiate Bowling Championship. And I can read, and I have a calculator, baseball now a $9 billion industry. It's printing money. It's never been healthier. At the same time, as we think about what July 4th means to us in terms of a sports holiday, and yes, it's about competitive eating. We'll talk about the brilliance of Joey Chestnut coming up in the final hour of the show. Baseball and July 4th have been synonymous for decades because of nostalgia, because of the grand old game, and because it speaks to an American pastime in the past tense. And I don't have to tell you why football has taken over. You understand the big picture reasons. But if you still love baseball, here's my question to you. And give me the response on Twitter, BW Weber, Weber with two Bs. Do you find it more challenging to watch the game now than even as recently as 5 years ago? Because I got to tell you, even though I do this for a living, and thankfully I don't do much local radio, if I was doing local, I wouldn't turn down a job. But if I was doing local radio, you live and die with baseball. You ride what happened the night before. You look ahead to the matchup coming up. And if you're in Philadelphia, Boston, New York, St. Louis, Chicago, you can take that magic carpet ride all the way from the end of the NFL draft, a little bit of NBA along the way, enough NBA free agency to keep you honest, and then you have a nice pathway to the start of NFL training camps. But my issue with baseball now, in addition to a lack of star power, who is the face of baseball? You want to go with Mike Trout? Okay, how many postseason games has Mike Trout won? I usually go with the benchmark, would my Aunt Maggie know who Mike Trout is? And the answer is no, in part because he doesn't want to do anything but play baseball. That's understandable. That's part of the culture of the game. You want to be a good teammate. It's not me first. Don't you dare go through the motions of bat flipping here. We got to play the game the right way. But Mike Trout is, while he's having an incredible season, the stats guys will tell you, among the best seasons at the plate since Babe Ruth. That's how remarkable it's been. Mike Trout has not crossed over and become a mainstream star. You want to go with Clayton Kershaw? Okay, well, he's a pitcher, so we're only going to see him every fifth day. You know about the lack of success in the postseason. Plus, he never talks, so he's not that media friendly. I'd ride with Bryce Harper because he's got some villain in him, but he's having a rough year. So not only does baseball lack star power, the real issue is a lack of watchability because the numbers crowd has won. The data-driven analysis says there's nothing wrong, according to the analytics guys, with striking out. So if you're still watching baseball, and I'm not claiming the sport has imploded fully, but it's trending in the wrong direction, and ratings are way down, attendance on pace to be the worst in 15 years, in part because you have five teams that could wind up losing 100 games, but we'll just call that a cyclical thing. If you're still watching baseball, what are you seeing? Strikeout, home run, fly ball. That's where the game is at. It's not that these games take too long. And look, I'll watch tomorrow. It's a holiday. What else are you going to do? Have a hot dog, wait for the fireworks. There's nothing wrong with having baseball on the tube, but the ball is just not in play enough. Defense used to matter. We got revved up with web gems when we cared about this week in baseball and somebody making a defensive highlight. Now, it is one of those outcomes that I described. Strikeouts at a historic rate. In fact, for the first time in the history of baseball in April, that's a pretty broad sample size, MLB had more strikeouts than hits. Almost happened again in the month of May. And because of the specialization with every reliever who we now see as soon as maybe the sixth inning throwing 100, and because of the defensive shift, which I think should be at least limited, if not outlawed, baseball is fundamentally different than it was as recently as 5 years ago. Do I have the answers? Nope. I'm not getting paid to have the answers. Final hour of the program, we'll check in with Joe Sheehan from Sports Illustrated. He always has considered analysis. Baseball has a crisis that is just around the corner, not only based on style of play, but demographically, because there are two generations of kids who grew up not playing the game. They're not watching the game. Baseball's got me because next stop is 50. What else am I going to do? But there's a real fundamental issue that the sport has to address. Here's another tweet. The great Stephen H. Town. Follow him on Twitter, Stucknut. That bowling clip needs to be thrown in the gutter.
Scrivens has an answer.
Am I doing Gus Johnson there on bowling? How have I made it this far in my career? My goodness, a series of wonderful, happy coincidences. Final hour of the program, I'll read my resume. Since this used to be CSTV, on this network I called college rugby, water polo, field hockey. And by the way, I was so good doing that first run of bowling, they brought me back for year two. Will I be back for the next segment? Find out. Anything can happen on the day before July 4th. Coming up, more of your phone calls at 1-800-636-8686. Emails, always a good option. RomanHaveATake.com. You know the Twitter handle. It's BW Weber. Weber with two Bs. Much more NBA on the way. With the addition of Boogie Cousins, could the Warriors potentially have the best starting five in history if you can come back from the Achilles injury with five All-Stars in their starting five? We'll take you across the NBA with Kurt Heelan from ProBasketballTalk.com. Always a pleasure to fill in for Jim Rome. My name is Brian Weber. This is the Jim Rome Show here on CBS Sports Network and CBS Sports Radio.
Scrivens has an answer.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Brian Weber back with you in for Jim Rome on CBS Sports Radio. In 20 minutes, more of your phone calls at 1-800-636-8686. Emails exploding, RomanHaveATake.com. Hit me up on Twitter, BW Weber, Weber with two Bs. Plus, we'll continue the countdown of the three most interesting calls in the history of the Smack-Off, getting you set for its return coming up Friday, July 20th. Let's get back to the NBA analysis. Always a pleasure to talk hoops with Kurt Heelan from ProBasketballTalk.com. Kurt, thanks so much for taking the time. So getting ready for the show last night, I was on my computer and the internet broke with the news that Boogie Cousins was going to Golden State. I can understand the perception somehow this is unfair. If he can come back from the Achilles injury, Warriors could have five All-Stars in the starting five. But given the ambiguity of where he is physically, what exactly are the Warriors getting in picking up Cousins now?
Well, that's, I think, the big question. I think a lot of people overreacted, like, you know, Bob Myers, the GM of the Warriors, has a DeLorean with a flux capacitor in the back, and he went and got the Boogie of 2 years ago, which would have been a real problem, but that was a max Boogie. We're not sure. You know, the history of big men coming back from Achilles isn't good at all. And let's be honest, Cousins, conditioning wasn't exactly his strong suit, right? I mean, he wasn't the guy just running up and down the floor. He was coming off his best condition season. He was playing really well, but it's a long way. He's putting in the work, but it's a long, long way back to where he was. He helps them in certain matchups. He's going to hit some trail threes. You know, you get up against Houston and they're switching and maybe you can punish some guys, but he's not a good defender. He just doesn't work hard on that end of the floor consistently. He's a good passer out of the post, but he stops the ball, which he doesn't get out and like to run in transition. Just all the things the Warriors do well, and it's kind of the core of their identity, aren't necessarily where he fits. And so, look, I think he's going to be he's obviously an upgrade over JaVale. He's an upgrade over Zaza Pachulia. Whatever percentage of Boogie they get back is better than that. They got better. But when push comes to shove at the end of the games, Brian, you know where he's going to be doing. He's going to be watching the game from the bench while the regular death lineup is out there.
Taking you across the NBA with Kurt Halen from ProBasketballTalk.com. Kurt, with LeBron now in the Western Conference, the disparity between East and West has never been more pronounced. Do you think the league, which is very progressive, is going to embrace the idea sooner rather than later of doing away with the conferences when we get to the postseason? Just see these teams 1 through 16.
I would love them to do this just because, you know, the pendulum will always, you know, look, in two decades, or a decade or whatever, maybe the pendulum swings the other way. That said, I wish they would. They're never going to do it because you've got to get the owners to vote for it, three-quarters of the owners to vote for it, which means you've got to convince a bunch of owners in the East to vote against their self-interest of making the playoffs and getting that extra cash coming in the door. I can't imagine it ever happening, even though, man, I wish they would embrace it because I think we've just reached the point where, despite the travel concerns and despite everything else, it would just be better. I'd also like to see 5 games in the first round just to make upsets more likely.
Going old school, but you know they're never going to do that because that's a loss of playoff revenue.
Yep.
You got
a
lot to write about moving forward with the Lakers in addition to everything that happened over the last year. So enter Rajon Rondo, Lance Stevenson, JaVale McGee. Even with LeBron as the leader, how dysfunctional could this locker room be?
It has the potential. I mean, LeBron's obviously going to be an iron-fisted guy, and Luke Walton's been I think he's a good player's coach in the sense that he's respected. He was a player. He's won rings. I think he can do, you know, he was in that Warriors locker room. He does, you know, when they were winning, he understands how to get there. But, yeah, there's a lot of loose cannons in that locker room that's going to make things. It's, you know, they're all one-year deals, but it's going to be a really interesting year for a Lakers team, both on and off the court. I mean, they have no shooting. It just doesn't mesh well on the court. And if things get weird on the court, then off the court things get strained. And, yeah, it could get really strange.
So many folks here in Southern California thought it was a done deal. Paul George would come home. Apparently, Paul is a people person. He wants to please folks like Russell Westbrook, so we decided to stay in OKC. Beyond a lot of money, what's that going to get Paul George on the floor? Because, as you know, this team lost in the first round of the playoffs again this year.
Yeah, it's funny that in that locker room, they're convinced that they are going to take another step forward this season, that they were just figuring things out. And to be fair, the Andre Roberson injury really set them back defensively. They went from being an elite defensive team to having some holes, but they're not a deep team. They've got all sorts of issues around there. And now they're going to have, especially with what they just paid Grant, they're going to have a massive, like, make the Lakers and Knicks bulk kind of tax bill coming for a small market. I think that their ceiling is second round, and that's ceiling. And especially in the West this year where, I mean, everybody got better. Dallas got better. Phoenix got better. They were the worst team in the conference. They draft DeAndre Ayton. They've got better, let alone the Warriors and the Lakers now are better. And, you know, Houston's probably taking half a step back, maybe without – I mean, they're going to miss Trevor Ariza, but they're still an elite team. Utah was led by rookie last year. They're going to be better. It's just in a gauntlet of the West, I'm not sure they can do any better, and I don't know what Paul George gets out of that, but they genuinely believe in OKC that – they're ready to take a step forward. So he believes it. He bought in.
Brian Weber in for Jim Rome, talking hoops with Kurt Halen from ProBasketballTalk.com. Kurt, now that the Cavs are going to be irrelevant again, do you think they hang on to Kevin Love or maybe just blow the whole thing up?
Yeah, right now they're saying, no, we're going to hang on to Kevin Love. We don't wait for it. By the time we get to the trade deadline and we get closer to the season, you're going to see them moving – Love might be the last one. They're going to might try to move George Hill if a team has a point guard injury and they can find a place to land him. I think the first guy you'll see go, and that could be sooner rather than later, there's a whole lot of teams that could use what Kyle Korver brings to the table. He's on a really reasonable $7 million contract. I think that that will get done, and then we'll see who else. I think over the next couple of years, like you said, there's just no reason for them not to just, look, tear it down, go into the rebuild mode, and then we'll see as Dan, you know, now that Dan Gilbert's going to be back, got his team back and gotten in charge, Brian, I don't see what the problem. I don't know, you know, in every sport, whenever the owner gets hands-on and helps with the player personnel decision, everything goes smoothly.
But, Kurt, he wrote the letter in the wrong font. I know he took the high road, but problem. Come on, man. Got to go old school, you know, and dial up the right font. All right, let's wrap it up with online, your outlook for Kawhi Leonard. So many moving parts to dissect here. How do you think it plays out?
You know, they're going to play it patiently right now just because they keep losing leverage. I mean, part of their leverage was, well, LeBron's not going to come to you guys, right? LeBron's not going to be a Laker unless, you know, you've got somebody else in there. And then Paul George is off the table and took LeBron up for 4 years anyway and gave him Pat Riley kind of leverage to Magic Johnson that he never gave Dan Gilbert. So some of that leverage goes away. I think Philly has a chance now. They're going to have to up their offer. It might drag out to the point because people will want to see Markel Fultz, and if you throw him in a deal, if he comes back and looks like he's got a jumper again and shows something and you throw him in a deal, maybe that gets it done. But for the Spurs right now, they have no leverage. They have no anything. I don't know that making the trade now versus making it right before the season starts or even later than that, what changes? They have nothing to fear, but, you know, the offers aren't necessarily going to get a whole lot worse. So I think this is going to drag out for a while, and it's going to make Kawhi uncomfortable.
Kurt, as always, we appreciate the information. Thanks so much for joining us today. Enjoy the holiday. Coming up tomorrow.
Yep. Thanks, Brian. Take care, buddy.
Kurt Helin, ProBasketballTalk.com. I threw it out there in passing towards the end of the first hour of the program. With all the talent in the West, if you're just going to have a fantasy draft, who's the first player you take out of the East? Who's the best player left in the East? Guess it's Kyrie Irving, but you have all the question marks surrounding him coming back from the injury that forced him to shut down the end of the regular season. Love what's going on in Philadelphia, but got to see Embiid stay healthy, and Simmons has to work on broadening his skill set. And I know it runs in cycles. It's all about a long-term time perspective, but it feels like the imbalance between the East and West has never been this distinct, and there's still moves to be made. And I think when we get to the end of the Kawhi Leonard process, be it a trade, and Lakers might have to wait until the deadline this year or just free agency, Leonard stays West and winds up coming back to Southern California. Played his high school ball in Riverside in the greater L.A. area. And you know he played his college hoops at San Diego State, so another star in the Western Conference. 1-800-636-8686. Emails, roman@havetake.com. Twitter, always your best bet, B.W. Weber. Weber with 2 B's. Straight ahead, more of your phone calls. Plus, we'll continue the countdown. I'm going to bring you what I believe to be the second most interesting call in the history of the Smack Off with this year's edition on the way, Friday, July 20th. But first, it's time for a sports update. Jay Berman has the latest.
CBS Sports Radio. Sports Flash.
All right, thanks very much, Brian. We'll start with afternoon baseball. Coming up in just under an hour, it'll be the Tigers and the Cubs from Wrigley. Michael Fulmer, Kyle Hendricks are your starters. Twins and Brewers will get going in Milwaukee in the 4 o'clock Eastern hour. And then an early start time in D.C. between the Red Sox and the Nationals, 6:05 Eastern. From D.C. Red Sox, of course, now have a one-game lead over the Yankees in the AL East. Yanks and Braves later tonight. As we said, Red Sox and Nationals as well. And then everything else after that is coming up later tonight. World Cup soccer, Sweden, a 1-0 win over Switzerland. So it's on to the quarterfinals for the Swedes. They'll face the winner of Colombia and England. They'll get going right at the top of the hour, so about a half an hour from now. It should be fun. All right, Terrell Owens announced on Twitter he's going to give his Hall of Fame speech at his alma mater, Tennessee Chattanooga. That'll come your way Saturday, August 4th. It's open to the public a few hours before the actual enshrinement ceremony in Canton. I'm Jay Berman.
Hey, barbecue at my house, but charcoal only. After Hours with Amy Lawrence, weekdays 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 Pacific on CBS Sports Radio.
This is the Jim Rome Show. with guest host Brian Weber on CBS Sports Radio.
We roll on the day before July 4th. Later in the show, we're going to bring you the huge email brought to you by Barbasol Razors. After 100 years of making shaving cream, Barbasol's finally making razors. Well, that was a no-brainer. Try the new Barbasol Ultra 6 Plus with 6 ultra-thin blades. Save now at Barbasol.com. If you're hanging on the line, 1-800-636-8686. More of your calls coming up. Just one more guest along the way. Final hour of the show, about 60 minutes from now, 2:40 Eastern time. We'll talk baseball because for decades it was synonymous with July 4th, taking you across the bigs with Joe Sheehan from Sports Illustrated. Conversation never stops on Twitter. That's BW Weber. Here's Jake in Buffalo. Sounds like B-Web was way too into that Scrivens call as we took you back to me calling intercollegiate bowling on CSTV in 2005 to start this wonderful second hour of the show. Regards, Albie's Please Stay LeBron call.
Scrivens has an answer.
95-95, 3 seconds left. Cleveland inbounds the ball. Top of the circle, LeBron gets the ball. 2 seconds, 1 second, LeBron for the win. Ah! Oh, dude, yes, yes. LeBron James. Please Stay LeBron.
Albie, it takes a real man to say when he's been bested. That was better than my collegiate bowling call from 2005. You are a broadcasting professional. Why aren't you guys doing the show today? I know that's what the audience wants. Don't answer that question. No, I'm insecure. All right, I rely on the wisdom of Adam Hawk to guide me through the email account. And I read them blind, so I'm sure this will not be anything too troublesome. What's up? Are you looking for a delightful girl? Let me introduce myself. I'm a lonesome Russian girl. I want to meet a serious Caucasian man. My goal is to build a strong family. Thank you, Adam Hawk. Seriously, if you don't want me invited back, I can destroy the show on my own. I have built my career on self-implosion. So, Adam, I don't need you to lead me down the highway to the end of my quote-unquote career. I'm doing a good enough job on my own to make sure I'm hanging on by my fingernails. But thank you for another piece of art on this program. Coming up in less than 10 minutes, we'll continue the countdown, bringing you what I believe to be the second most interesting call in the history of the Smack-Off, getting you set for the return of the biggest day of the year here in the jungle coming up Friday, July 20th. I promise more phone calls. Let's get that done. 1-800-636-8686. Here is Jeff in Austin, Texas. Jeff, you're in the jungle. How are you?
Doing good, Brian. Thanks for having me on.
My pleasure.
Yeah, my question is, with Boogie Cousins signing with Golden State, I mean, you're making a great team potentially greater. I know he's rehabbing his Achilles, won't be available till later in the season, but what makes me as an NBA fan really want to watch the NBA season unfold, and providing that Golden State stays healthy, they're a lock to win another championship.
So just clarify that. Are you less inclined to watch or more inclined?
I'm less inclined.
Okay. What would you like the league to do? Cap how many All-Stars you can have on the roster?
Obviously that can't happen, but it seems like these superstars are just teaming up to form super teams, and there are haves and there's too many have-nots in the league. It just doesn't make very compelling drama to watch, actually.
Jeff, I appreciate the phone call, but we have reports from DeMarcus Cousins' camp. He claims the only offer he got as a free agent came from the Warriors. So I realize the optics are challenging. This feels like the Yankees next year going out and getting Bryce Harper. But it's a radically different situation for a variety of reasons. And let's just think about the key elements here. What are you truly getting in picking up DeMarcus Cousins? Do you know where he is physically? Kurt Halen from ProBasketballTalk.com just laid it out. Got the same sentiment from Eric Pincus, BasketballInsiders.com, in the first hour of the show. In terms of the most devastating injuries out there, specifically for a big man, the Achilles is the one you want to avoid. So that's item number one. Item number two is Cousins fitting in. And I realize he's got millions of dollars worth of incentives to be a good citizen, because this is a show-me deal. He's playing for his next contract. But I need to see it. What happens when Draymond Green tells him to shut the hell up? And what's going to happen inside that locker room? Now, we know that people respond to life-altering circumstances based on some pretty simple components. It's about career survival. He's going to get an offer from somebody, but he's got a lot of reasons to be on his best behavior once he gets past the rehab, and there's no certainty there. We're talking about a return March or February, earliest March, somewhere in that window. I understand the response yesterday, and it continues today. It feels like the NBA has become a rigged poker game, but I'm looking for solutions out there. And I wasn't just trying to be flippant. I appreciate the call, Jeff, and that opens up a line at 1-800-636-8686. If you have an answer that makes sense, I'm here for you, because I don't think the NBA had a master conspiracy of all the teams, and I'm biased here because I did local TV in San Francisco for 10 years. I was the Warrior sideline reporter for 9 years. Because we got a young audience, people forget how dismal the Warriors were. They were the Northern California version of the Clippers. Nobody wanted to go there. They drafted well. Remember, Draymond Green was a second-round pick coming out of Michigan State. Steph Curry, the knock on him coming out of Davidson was, can you trust his sustainability? Is he going to be able to stay healthy with the wobbly ankles that showed up again this year? And can he guard anybody because he's so slight? Well, obviously, he proved the doubters wrong. Did anybody think Klay Thompson would emerge as one of the best shooters of his generation? So credit to Bob Myers, the GM, for drafting well. And then the perfect storm financially occurred with the spike in the cap. Kevin Durant was able to be fit in from a monetary standpoint. Remember, the Warriors also got good luck because Steph Curry was banged up early in his career. They got him at a relative discount on contract number two, giving him a little bit more cap space. And then Durant has done the right thing each of the last 2 years with a 1+1, giving them more cap maneuvering space. So I'm with you. It seems like it's unfair. And every cliche you want to dust off about the rich getting richer is applicable, but I'm just looking for the solution. And the beauty of sports is we got to play these games. You were watching the postseason. Refresh my memory. Am I wrong here? Didn't Houston have a 3-2 series edge? And I know everything changed in the Western Conference Finals when Chris Paul went down again, because that's what he always does, unfortunately. He's just too brittle and breaks down in critical circumstances, especially in the postseason. But Houston had a legitimate chance to win that series. They had leads at halftime in both games 6 and 7, and then game 7, they couldn't buy a shot. They missed 23 consecutive threes. So I think it's premature to crown anybody, but if we're just going to go through the balance of power, and I don't care about the view from Vegas because Laker fans are losing their minds and blowing their dough on prop bets backing L.A., right now, as of last night, it might have changed now with the pickup of Boogie Cousins. But when I was getting ready for the show last night, the Lakers were projected to have more victories this year than the Warriors, in part because the Warriors might pace themselves, as they did this year. They weren't the top seed. Well, it didn't slow them down. Next thing you know, they won their second straight title and the third in the span of 4 years. Okay, let's continue the countdown of what I am calling the three most interesting calls in the history of the Smack-Off, with the renewal of the tremendous event coming your way Friday, July 20th. Remember, it's the Leff and Laguna rule this year. No more studio invasions, meaning you got to get it done on the phone. And we know how creative Leff is. I'm sure he'll have a solution for that new wrinkle. Last hour, we took you way back to Jeff and Richmond's winning call. That was 2002. In the second position, I decided to go with a guy who had been a runner-up multiple times, broke through, won the coveted title in 2014, came close again last year. Here's Mike and Indy from a year ago.
When the doctors got Brad's brain scans back, they thought the machine had malfunctioned because there appeared to be no evidence of a brain. But then one of the doctors pointed to the lower left corner of the scan and said, "There it is, a little pea-sized brain." I think anyone who heard Brad's call today would agree with the diagnosis of pea-sized brain. A scan of Leff's brain showed it was 100% filled with delusions of grandeur. The doctors said they haven't seen that much delusion in a brain since Kim Jong-un, and that's a pretty good analogy for Leff. First, we have Lef Jung-un up in that homemade helicopter, a.k.a. Air Force Un, trying to act like he might do something before the engine overheated. Last year, after he stormed the studio, he rollerbladed to the beach and fired a bunch of Roman candles into the ocean as a show of strength. You kidding me? I'm surprised Lef didn't try to intimidate us by riding a jet ski around the harbor sandwiched between Terrence and Trapper. There was a power vacuum after I vacated the throne, and Lef took the opportunity to radicalize a bunch of clones with propaganda and gimmicks. And many clones took the bait. But the jungle needs a visionary. The jungle needs someone who delivers, 595 shipping and handling. Someone who can lead us to salvation and prosperity. To prove my fitness for the office, I went in to get my brain scanned, and the doctors told me the average human only uses 10% of their brain, but I was using 95% of mine. I asked them which 5% of the brain I wasn't functioning, and they said, there's a lack of activity in your amygdala. Essentially, your brain is unable to recognize fear. And I said, I know that's right.
And that was that. Mike and Indy, another tremendous effort, wasn't good enough. Adam Hawk, I listen to the show every day. Try to listen to all 3 hours. Get the Daily Jungle podcast. Correct me if I'm wrong. Have we heard from Mike and Indy since that call?
Not on this show, no, but he has made his appearances on Clone Podcasts and on the Woodscopes, just like yourself. So we have heard from Mike and Indy, just not on this show. And the silence is deafening at this point. And the theory right now is either he is sandbagging and this is part of a triumphant return, or he really is not returning. So we will find out on the 20th and maybe before that if he RSVPs for the event. But we all hope that he's there. He makes the event way better.
Unquestionably. Former champion, multiple-time runner-up. So that's one more element of drama as the anticipation builds. It all comes together coming up Friday, July 20th. Before we're done, about an hour from now, we'll bring you what I think is the most interesting call in the history of the Smack-Off. Also, we'll take you around Major League Baseball with Joe Sheehan from Sports Illustrated. Let's get you a few more emails. Guy who is not Rome, and of course you can be a part of the email dialogue at RomeAndHaveATake.com. A very respectful title. Guy who is not Rome. Your takes on bowling are better than anything else you've said today. Damasio in Albuquerque. Thank you. I thought the clones were going to be nicer to me because I went on the Woodscope Periscope show, right? 12 Wood, my guy. I thought he was going to call. Now I'm now begging for calls. This is where I've arrived at the fill-in guy. I got another email for you. Sub Pimp. Scribbins has an answer. That's going to be the takeaway from this show. What was that question? How big of a loser is Adam Hawk? I think that's rhetorical. Stan
Scribbins
in Anchorage
has an answer.
Or Brian Weber in Space Jam 2 as LeBron's butler. My man, I would take it. I need that mailbox money like Jim gets with the residuals from Space Jam. Squeeze in a phone call before we wrap up the hour. Here is Chris in Fresno. Hey, Chris, you're on CBS Sports Radio. What's up?
Hey, how's it going?
Good, man.
Hey, yeah, so, I mean, first and foremost, you know, I love the idea of this being such a free market. You know, it's just like any other job. I mean, if I want to take less money to go work for a specific company, you know, people do that every day. So if Boogie Cousins wants to do that to go play with the Warriors, I don't see how it's any different than any of us. But in terms of solutions for people not liking this, you know, what about the idea of having a 3-year minimum contract or something like that, you know, because if the Warriors had to take that into account, knowing they're going to have to re-sign Curry and Clay soon, you know, maybe they don't take on that salary cap hit knowing, you know, what it's going to be in a year or two.
All right, Chris, appreciate the phone call. If you want to take the next step, you could steal from the NFL. You could have a franchise tag, which would completely limit player mobility. Although the difference is, and I'm on board with the NBA players here, I'm always on the side of folks who create revenue, not to get too deep on the day before July 4th, but in that split between labor and management, I'll go with the people who actually create the dough, either by what they do on the floor, on the field, or maybe what they say into a microphone. But NBA players, because they've been willing to pay the price of multiple lockouts, have much more clout than the NFL rank and file. Think about all the football players right now thinking, I can't even get a multi-year deal, and look at the abundance of cash in the NBA, and more to the point, player control, because that's what the owners hope to do with the last CBA, giving the existing clubs even more money they could throw at a player, hoping they would stay. But NBA players have proven they'll take a small differential to go where they want to go in terms of a city they want to live and play with the players they want to compete with. So I got no problem with it, but feels like a lot of you just think the NBA is broken and it needs a radical solution. Final hour of the show coming up. We're not going to mail it in. I'm not going to do my countdown of my favorite firework displays. More hot takes surrounding the NBA. More of your phone calls coming up at 1-800-636-8686. Emails have been chippy but entertaining. RomanAvatake.com. Twitter's BW Weber. Weber with two B's. Brian Weber in for Jim Rome right here on CBS Sports Radio.